Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. 25 years, that's how long Paul Messner has been performing his puppet magic in Kansas City and around the world. That translates to more than 100,000 kids and adults every year and a slew of characters from a whole host of great children's books. From this season alone, there's been The Three Little Pigs, The Wolf, of course, and Old Mother Hubbard. Paul Messner is here to reflect on a journey that's taken him from the icy roads of Minnesota to, well, the icy roads of Kansas City. Later on this hour, the latest installment of our ongoing series, 90 Mile View, and Brian McTavish swings by with our weekend to-do list. But first up, Paul Messner, and by all means, congratulations on a quarter century. That's pretty good, Paul.
Thanks, Stephen.
Nice to have you here.
Nice to be here.
Well, you once said that although most people think puppets are dumbing things down, that the opposite is actually true. You said this, it's an unfortunate prejudice. It's been a struggle to educate people on just how sophisticated it can all be. Puppets as sophisticated? What do you mean?
Well, the actual instrument itself isn't a child's play, though it's often a gift given to little kids, a puppet is. It actually takes quite a bit of work to be a good manipulator because you're an actor, and I consider myself both a storyteller and an actor. I'm acting with puppets. I'm using my voice. I'm looking up. I'm kind of channeling up through like a periscope to the audience
right.
through this instrument that is the puppet. So that's hard.
There's more to it than meets the eyes.
Way more. And hopefully if the audience says, that was great, they don't realize that it's a lot of work, a lot of study and practice that goes into that performance.
You know, this notion of you looking up through a periscope, I was thinking about this, looking at so many pictures. We have a great slideshow at kcur.org where you can look at Paul and some of the work that he does. But you are always looking up. You're always navigating above your head. And I'm wondering, because you're not really seeing what the audience is seeing from your vantage point, that's got to be tricky just in and of itself.
It requires you to always assume or be empathetic to how the audience is perceiving the performance. And in puppetry, you're often running two characters. I'm always thinking, okay, the puppet is moving here. I know the playboard, which is the board upon which the puppets play, mm-hmm. is blocking the front view, the mm-hmm. front few rows. So as the puppets go upstage, they have to go up on an invisible ramp. There's no floor. And so these are rod puppets. They're run with sticks from underneath. We do other styles of puppets, but that's the primary style that we do a lot of.
Explain that. What are the rod puppets? Because that's a certain kind of puppet, and there's so many out there, of course.
Yeah. A rod puppet is, and our puppets' figures are about 2 feet tall, and they have a rod to the head, and sometimes there's a mechanism that runs the mouth, maybe also the eyes, or maybe ears move, or something on the puppet's face may move. And then there are two rods, one to each hand. And sometimes those hands are slightly articulated, or sometimes they can grasp things depending on the size and scale of the puppet.
So when you're rehearsing for any one particular production, you've got to have someone out in the audience telling you if you're moving your puppets in the right way from the vantage point of the audience, I'm guessing, right?
Absolutely.
Do you have cameras out there that sort of watch all that?
Sometimes we use cameras. We have mirrors in the studio where we rehearse. And that's good initially, but then people become sometimes married to the mirror.
And you've got a mirror out in where the audience is?
We turn it sideways. We have mirrors along one whole wall of the studio where we perform. And we curtain them up when the audience comes in. But we rehearse with those mirrors because they instantly, immediately tell you how you're doing manipulation-wise. And for newer puppeteers, it lets you kind of understand what your actions are, how they're being realized with the puppet, how they are. Are you effectively running that puppet?
Now, it's interesting to me, you've spent 25 years essentially, in some ways, living in an imaginary world. Why? Why did you choose to go there?
I only live in an imaginary world for about an hour a day.
And then it's all real.
Oh, yeah, it's very real.
Very real.
Schlepping your equipment in and out of grade school auditoriums is very real. I drive generally 20 to 30,000 miles a year. That's pretty real.
But what was the draw for you to go into the imaginary world, if only for an hour at a time?
It's a great format to tell stories. I love telling stories. I love making kids laugh, and adults if they can go along for the ride. That's the pleasure for me, is connecting with audiences and that
communication. And those old stories like The Three Little Pigs, mm-hmm. great stories.
Oh, they're classic. And in the United States, much more so than Europe, we're market-driven. We have to sell tickets. And so you tend to do a lot more titles. We've tried to get around that a bit by doing, the last 15 years, a lot more contemporary children's literature, which is popular in the schools, and the libraries have helped promote a lot of these newer books.
Kids want to see what they've been reading at home and getting from the school library.
Yeah. And the problem comes in that the parents aren't as up-to-date as the kids are.
Oh.
And the kids know that the version of The Three Pigs we do is the true story of The Three Pigs by A. Wolf. You use the whole title. Sometimes the parents will go, oh, you like that book, don't you? And that's now, that book's been out 26 years, so it's well known. But a couple years ago, we did Officer Buckle and Gloria for the first time, and it had only been out about 6 or 7 years, and it hadn't quite worked its way into that whole uber culture where a lot of people understood what the book was about.
Yeah. So how do you pick what you're going to do?
We have several different ways. I've used The Reading Reptile as a resource for years. They do a great children's lit festival.
Meaning what's working at The Reading Reptile might work for you?
Well, what's selling, what's popular. They know what schools are purchasing. And that's always important for us because schools are an important part of our economic model. The school groups that come, they, you know, is this story, is this book in the curriculum yet? Is it being taught? And what grades are teaching it? How are they using it? And is this a title we can use that, you know, that's going to work? And then, of course, can we get rights from the publisher or the author? So that's one. Librarians are another great source. So we've always consulted with several different librarians locally, Helma Hawkins, among others.
You ask them what?
I ask what books are hot? What's good? What are people loving? What are people talking about? What books are frequently checked out, what won awards this year. And sometimes the awards for children's books lag a year or two behind actually what was published. Mm-hmm. And so, again, if you get the rights too soon, then you'll do a book that isn't quite out there yet.
And you want them to be out there for economic reasons, I assume.
Absolutely. We got to sell tickets.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just wondering, you know, when you step behind the scenes at a Paul Messner puppet show, what's that like? I mean, I assume it's got to be controlled chaos at one level or another, but take us behind the curtain a little bit, Paul. What goes on back there?
There, in the current production, Martha Speaks, there are three manipulators back there. They're also running the lights.
You call them manipulators.
Yeah, puppeteers or manipulators. Mm-hmm. There are three backstage. Everyone's standing in this particular production. So the puppets appear at 6 feet. Their feet appear at 6 feet and above. Mm-hmm. So everyone's looking up, walking around.
Around each other at times,
around each
I
other.
Assume.
And all the scenery is kind of up on stilts. So the scenery doesn't start until 6 feet up. And then it starts. And then you have 2 or 3 feet of scenery up there. In this case, the show has two big interior scenes, panels that are on wagons or rollers. And we roll those around a couple times. And we're stepping kind of through these stilts to have the puppets make their entrances and exits in and out those doors. Then there are side panel exits, and you exit off that way, so that's an easier route. Sometimes at the beginning of a show, we'll have cheat sheets. So there's a music stand.
The script.
With the script. Everyone's wearing a wireless mic, so you don't have to worry about cords. In the old days, you had to worry about a cord dragging around behind you, or you couldn't move very far.
Yeah.
And then you're running the lights. It gets dark. What I do as a puppeteer, and encourage all of our puppeteers who work with us, is to really listen. Listen to the audience. Hear when they're being really quiet. Because when they're listening really good, that's what you want. You want them to laugh. Listen to their laughter. Don't jump on the lines.
Don't step on your laugh lines.
Exactly. Because, we do primarily comedic work. And there's drama involved. In the current show, there's a burglar who breaks in the house. And we use the music that's dun, 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 like that kind of stuff. And the audience gets very quiet. It's hilarious. I mean, even 2 and 3-year-olds know what that means.
Is it a distraction when the kids make noise?
It can be. And the newer performers, we have a young woman, Erica Baker, who's performing with us right now. And she said the other day, I just had to say, concentrate, concentrate. We get a lot of toddlers, some shows, and some particular days, you'll get 8 or 9. And toddlers are can be a challenge. They love the show sometimes. They have a shorter attention span. And toddler, I mean 0 to 3. You never
That's
know.
It's challenging.
You can have a 14-month-old sit silently through the whole show, and their parents will say, she loved it. She didn't budge. Every child's different in that regard.
We're visiting with the great puppeteer, Paul Messner. You know, you talk on your website, Paul, about instructions to teachers in some cases for really young kids. And you talk to them about maybe explaining to the kids what a puppet show is and what kind of loud noises might happen and the music. In some cases, what you've got to get audiences ready to come to a Paul Messner show because it's a whole different experience for these kids, right?
That's right.
It can be scary, too, I assume.
We try not to make it too scary, but it's often their first experience in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
We are training audiences to go to the rep someday, the Kansas City rep. We are training
if
those
only the
kids.
Rep recognized that. Oh,
yes,
yeah.
If we could get some of their marketing budget, that'd be great. But we are the first place. And then after us, they might go to the Coterie or Theater for Young America. They'll go to other theaters. But very often, we see the first kid time they've come to a theater. So this year, we started doing baby theater, which is a trend that's coming out of Europe, and or toddler theater or whatever you want to call it. We do shows where the lights don't go down, and their shows are shorter. They're 35 minutes.
Yeah.
And we have zero. It's aimed at 0 to 3-year-olds. And we weren't sure how it would work. And we had 2 performances this year that ran for 2 weeks each. And we just do 10 o'clock shows because toddlers are often sleeping in the afternoon at some point in the other. And they were wildly successful. We got positive feedback. The kids watched the whole show. We didn't have anybody leave. Nobody cried. And those shows are gentler. They don't have loud noises. They don't have big explosions. And the storylines tend to be simpler or just more gentle. And so we're real thrilled about that response we've gotten so far. And it's a great way to tell parents, try this show out. And then if they make it through this show, they might be ready for another one of our shows that's not just toddler. So,
well, I bet a whole lot of our listeners have been to a Paul Messner puppet show. If you want to call in with some of your memories from great Paul Messner puppet shows and performances, how your kids reacted to it, 816-235-2888 is our phone number here, our email address, up to date at kcur.org, or go to KCUR's Facebook page. How many shows a year do you put on?
This year we're doing 10 performances in Kansas City. Each one runs anywhere from 2 weeks to 4 weeks. We do a special Christmas production of The Nativity, and that's quite different from our other performances. We do it at Grace and Holy Trinity Episcopal Cathedral, downtown at 13th and Broadway.
Sure.
The puppets are about 8 feet tall. We wear them. We use voice actors. We worked with Victor Rader Wexler, and then John Schaefer's the music director. So his choir members are doing some of the voices. And then, so we're performing those voices live. The voice actors are sitting watching the puppeteers who are doing the show. We work with about 25 volunteers on that show. It's about a cast of 40. And it's enveloping of the audience. We don't have a stage or scenery, and we use the front of the church as much stage as there is, but we're working right through the aisles and everything.
And then, of course, you go on the road.
Well, I tour extensively, yeah. Mm-hmm. And myself and also my corner, my associate artistic director, we both tour all over the United States. Sometimes we go to Europe, Mexico, or Canada.
How do you get shows in Mexico or Canada, or Europe for that matter?
Someone has seen me perform at another festival, and that's usually how it works. And so then they want to hire me. I almost went to New Delhi. I would have been there this week.
Really?
But they had to change their dates. And so I'd rearranged my whole year. Around New Delhi. And so that was a disappointment. But they had, they lost their venue. And they had to change their dates to April. And I'm doing the true story of the three pigs in April. So I can't go.
Do you want to go sometime down the road?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The international tour is exciting. It's also exhausting.
How do you deal with the language?
Well, in India, it's not a big issue.
Okay.
And we've built 2 or 3 shows now that have very little language. I was also almost went to Kazakhstan, to Almaty, to their International Puppet Festival. And again, that was in September, and that fell through. And I wasn't as disappointed, especially when I talked to some people who've been there and said, oh, it's very challenging to present a show you're schlepping your stuff. You land in another country. The two languages there are Russian and Mandarin.
Mm-hmm. Good luck. Yeah.
I speak German and I speak some French and a lot of Spanish and some German, but no Cyrillic. I not read so Cyrillic. I mean, I'm going to count on an interpreter the entire time I'm there.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Again, Paul Messner is our guest, the great puppeteer. I should tell you, his current show is airing, is showing right now. It's the latest production is Martha Speaks. It runs through February 10th at the Paul Messner Puppet Studio, 1006 East Linwood Boulevard, right?
That's correct.
Okay. 816-235-2888 if you want to share a story from seeing a Paul Messner production and how your kids reacted to it. Our email address, update@kcur.org. Let's go to Matt from Baldwin City. Matt, you're on with Paul Messner. Good morning.
Well, good morning. I just been seeing Paul's work for years, and we actually both were doing young audiences at one point. And I've always wondered to ask about the kind of sculptural influences on the puppets, because you're actually making sculptures. And I get a kind of a sense of, I don't know, maybe German expressionism or something from your work, and wondered if you could speak to that.
Good question, Matt. Thanks.
Actually, it's interesting you mentioned that, because Richard Teschner was a famous German puppeteer in the Expressionist era, and I've not seen much of his work, but I've loved the little bit of work I've seen. I no longer do, you know, a lot of the puppet making is done by our other associates. So Gabby Bakuli, Mike Horner. Over the years, we had Richard Rainey helped us do sculpting, Tom Shaka, a variety of different artists. And then we often have interns from the Art Institute. So, but
what's the process like to go through making one of those puppets? Do you come up with sketches and see if that's what you're really thinking about, or is there a process here?
Sketches are involved if it's an original show. If we're doing the children's book, often we want to stick as close as we can to the look of the book. Mm-hmm. So that work is done for us. In fact, all the design work is done, both on the color palette, because children's books are fairly iconic in kids' minds. And adults' minds, and so we want to stick to that.
Yeah.
Then you sculpt the puppet. We sculpt out of clay very often, and then we cast either in paper mache. We do a positive casting method where we directly paper mache onto the clay, and lately we've been doing this other method where we make a negative mold. So we sculpt out of clay, we make a negative mold out of latex, and then we pour into that mold a plastic that hardens. It's a little bit heavier, a little bit stronger head that results. Sometimes we sew them out of cloth, and that's again a slightly different process.
So what does the puppet weigh?
Anywhere from 1 to 3 pounds if it's a small puppet, which doesn't sound like much, but if you're holding your arm out at 2 or 3 feet and the rod is 3 feet long or 4 feet long, it can be heavy. So we really strive for as light as possible.
I was just going to say, you said 1 to 3 pounds, it doesn't sound like much, but when you're holding it up as you are, I imagine that can take a toll after a while, can it?
Yeah, we do warm-ups.
Do you?
I try and work out the gym pretty consistently. You want to be in good shape. It's, as a friend of mine says, puppets aren't for sissies. It's
really
hard work. It's much harder than people think. And our job is to not make it look hard and to make it look like fun, which of course it is. But these instruments that we're performing with, you want to make them as good as we can, so they work as good as they can.
Paul Messner is our guest. He's celebrating 25 years in the puppet world. Let's go to Bob from Kansas City, Missouri. Bob, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to say I recently took my 3.5-year-old granddaughter to see Martha Speaks. You were talking about toddlers and their reactions. That's the longest I've ever seen her attention captured. She sat and watched for the whole show. It was amazing.
What did she say about it afterwards, Bob?
Pardon?
What did she say about it afterwards?
She loved it. But right afterwards, we went into the little display room that you had next to the theater there. I liked your Barbara Streisand puppet. I don't know what show that was in, but I'm sorry I missed that. But she had a lot of questions, saw a lot of different puppets in there she recognized, and just was thrilled with the whole experience. and it's more than just a show. I mean, there's a lot going on there. But I have a question of Paul. Paul, I may be wrong about this, but I understood that you were trying to acquire a building from the Kansas City Parks Department. I'm wondering what the status of that is, and if you did, what kind of plans do you have for that?
This was for a new theater for yourself, right, Paul?
That's correct, yeah.
Where are we there?
We're still in the planning stage. We're still looking if it's possible. We're doing an assessment and seeing if we can raise the money. It'd be a lot of money. We'd be, it's 3915 Gillum. It's the old Parks and Rec building where Santa Claus and Frosty used to hang out.
Oh, yeah.
And it would give us a great opportunity to create a real stage and a real space where we could, it would just give us a totally different opportunity than we currently have.
3915 Gillum, yeah, it's not a big house, is it?
Well, the building, we'd be building a new structure between the stalls, and that's the old Horse Hospital of Kansas City.
No kidding.
And it's where they also neighbors in the Hyde Park neighborhood could house their horses there from back in that day.
That was a different era.
Yeah. And so there are stalls back there. We'd be building a new building spanning the old stalls. And then the old Adrian's Van Brunt structure in front would remain the same. But there'd be a new structure, you know, hopefully compatible with the neighborhood, attractive, but different from the building that's there. And that would be there, and there'd be a parking lot to the south.
Well, why do you want to leave 1006 East Linwood Boulevard?
Oh, we love where we are at, but we seat 200. But the stage itself is quite small. We don't have a big play space.
So need more room.
We'd love to have much more of a conventional, traditional theater. Again, that's a mistake sometimes people make. They say, oh, you don't need much for theater. You don't need for puppet theater. You don't need much space, but we would love to have a much bigger space for the performers. We would do a lot more scenery. We do a lot more with lights. We do a lot more on the production value end than we can currently do.
When will you find out if 3900 Gillum is going to work out for you or not?
It looks like 2 to 3 months. Mm-hmm. We'll do an assessment of both the funding community, whether people think it's a good project and or whether they think we have the ability to raise the kind of money we need.
What kind of money might you be talking about?
It looks between $6 and $8 million.
Oh, a million here and a million there. That's real money, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. So we're etching up over our annual budgets, etching up over $500,000. So we're still fairly small. It's very ambitious for a group our size.
Mm-hmm.
But we would definitely be partnering with other groups. It would provide us with a morning facility, and if we can build it right, then other groups would use it in the evenings, afternoons and evenings. The goal would be to keep it as busy as possible.
A couple of phone calls here from folks who want to talk with Paul. Sharon from Kansas City, Missouri. Sharon, good morning.
Yes, good morning. Good morning, Paul. This is Sharon on your board.
Hi, Sharon.
Just called to congratulate you on 25 years and look forward to working with you on all the projects, particularly the Gillum project as well. And just wanted to say, give a plug for my favorite production as an adult is certainly Nativity. That was just performed in December. And I know that's probably one of the largest productions of your show, but, oh, is it just wonderful. So congratulations, and I look forward to many years of working with you.
Thanks, Sharon.
Thanks for the good call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Let's go to Rabbi Arthur Nemetov from Overland Park. Rabbi, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. I love your show.
Thank you.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
Hi, Art. I'm great, thanks. How are you?
I am well. I am the rabbi of the Temple Congregation B'nai Yehuda in Kansas City, and the last 3 years we have been doing collaborative work with Paul and his troupe, bringing his puppets alive as part of our Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur high holiday services for our families. I just wanted to compliment Paul on what an incredible job he does in being respectful of our faith and traditions. He said earlier that he didn't speak too many languages other than maybe Spanish. He's done a great job learning Hebrew.
Little bit.
And one of the most magnificent events that happened was this past year, we one of the stories that we created and we wove into our service was Tzipor the bird, and this giant purple bird that Paul actually played, and he mesmerized the children, and the best compliment got were a number of kids and parents and grandparents, three generations, who came up to us and told us how much they learned and were moved and inspired by what Paul and his troupe had done with us. So even though, Paul, I can't give you $2 or $3 or $5 million for your building, what I can do is encourage other people who are part of other faith traditions to seek you out and have you be partners with them in bringing alive their faith traditions through your puppet work. And maybe that will allow you to get that building, because you well deserve it. You are a gift to this community, and all of us should be so grateful that you are a part of what we do here in Kansas City.
Rabbi, thank you for the great call.
Thank you, Rabbi. It's been a great journey, though, that you've allowed us to take with you and your congregation, because it isn't my tradition, the Jewish faith, and yet I've learned a great deal, and as I continue to, and it's been a real pleasure for all of us.
Do you write a lot of your own productions?
Yeah, I do a lot of the writing.
Which facet of all this do you enjoy the most? Is it the acting, the writing, the making of the puppets? What still trips your trigger here?
I probably still love the writing and the performing the most. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the rehearsal I hate.
Really?
Yeah, it's hard. But I love the writing and the performing.
And how much rehearsal do you have before a new production launches? How much time do you need?
I don't want to brag, but I probably need a bit less, because I've got so many chops I've developed over the years, so many skill sets that I bring in manipulation and understanding the audience and timing. But when I'm working with others, I like to have 3 weeks at least, especially on one of our productions if we can.
If someone's just interested in what you do, can they come help, take part?
We take volunteers, but for the actual performances, we have to work a lot on that. So we'd like to get them at an entry level, like the Nativity. Mm-hmm. And there's another couple productions that we hope to do this next year that will have more opportunities for volunteers.
When did you first, in your life, first start playing with puppets? When did that come for you?
I was a little kid who tied strings on my teddy bear. But then I didn't take a class till I was about 10. My folks found a class at the Lincoln Community Playhouse.
And where was this?
In Lincoln, Nebraska. Mm-hmm. And I took a class and loved it. And the teacher there was a dominating bit of a...
difficult woman.
Woman. Yeah. But she was really skilled as an artist. And as a little curious footnote to this whole thing, I often performed the Coryell Theater at Lincoln Community Playhouse, which, of course, Adele Coryell Hall, her family helped fund. And I didn't realize that till recently, that this was the theater I grew up performing in all those years and learning in, was, again, touched by the Hall family.
But the connection for you with puppets was pretty quick?
Yeah. I had discovered I could make voices. I sang in the choir in our Methodist church, and our family walked home from church. And I discovered I could make fun of the soprano and then the tenor. And my sister was my first audience, and she laughed at me. And my parents, held their smiles back. But I did quite a good version of the soprano. A 10-year-old boy has a really high voice, and I could be as piercing as she was.
Even today, the voices, the range is amazing. Just give me a sample. Give me someone you've done recently that you just get a kick out of doing.
Well, it's always fun to do Mr. A. Wolf, as you know, because I was innocently accused of sneezing, eating them pigs, but it wasn't my fault.
Yeah. Well, do you do the thing like Daniel Day-Lewis does, where you have to be in that character for weeks and weeks and weeks to sort of do it right?
No? I like to hold the puppet. I like to play with it. And as I'm going through that process, when the puppet's brand new, that's when I really start figuring out how it talks.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, the movement of the puppet influences it some, how the puppet's voice is going to be. And then also what it has to say, and you have to make it clear. And I didn't warm this voice up very much, so it's a bit rough right now. And then you figure out the volume and what timbre works best.
Yeah. Why puppetry as opposed to more traditional acting in children's theater or even adult theater for that matter? I mean, did that ever draw you?
I did a bit of that, yes. In high school, I was in some dramas. And then out of high school, I danced a lot. And dance is actually what was my first passion. And I studied dance at Creighton University. And I loved dance. I love to go to the ballet. We're lucky to have the Kansas City Ballet here in Kansas City. And the modern companies that we have here, Owens Cox and
So I still love dance, and so much of my work is still influenced by movement, how the puppet moves through space. So I love that, and I also did some other theater along the way. But I just latched onto puppets, and I was able to start making a living fairly early, and I loved it.
And off you went.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your father, it surprised me, he's a professor emeritus of mathematics at the University of Nebraska. So the acting gene came from mom, or where did that come from?
My father was a bit of a ham.
He was a math prof, but he was a ham, yeah, eh?
He was. The big thing they did was encouraged me. Now, my mother, they both read to us every night, but my mother read 340 nights a year to us every night. So mm-hmm. her voice is still in my head of That's how neat. She read. She would read the Newbery book. She'd read all the books she loved. And so we grew up hearing her, you know, do Winnie the Pooh. And her Eeyore is still the one that I carry with me in my head.
She would do the voices too.
Oh, yeah. She would do, these wonderful voices. And I think that's where I took my first lessons in voice.
Laura here wrote us at updatedat.kcur.org. She writes, I've always appreciated Paul Messner's sense of humor. There's always a sly nod to adults, but it also provokes belly laughs in kids. His interpretation of Shakespeare at Heart of America's Shakespeare Fest are always brilliant and a primer on a story that you might not have read in a while, if ever. Will they be at this year's Shakespeare Fest, she wants to know.
I don't think they haven't contacted us yet. I'd love to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
We love doing this Heart of America Shakespeare Festival. It was really fun, and we have a playwright in the Seattle area who would write a 20-minute version of whatever play they were doing at mm-hmm. Heart of America Shakespeare Festival, and then we would make the puppets and do it in a traditional booth that you might have seen in the 15th or 16th century.
Right.
And we try to do the whole arc of the story with all the major characters. We loved doing those because it's broad, it's outdoor street entertainment,
but
it's germane to the performance everyone's going to go see.
Let's go to Christopher from Kansas City, Missouri. Christopher, you're on with Paul Messner. Good morning.
Good morning. Hello, Paul. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I was just wondering what you thought about the Avenue Q sensation and the adult puppet work, and I know that you do some of that yourself, and then the sort of seeing the puppeteer and the puppet at the same time, which is an interesting thing to watch. You know, who do you watch, the puppet or the person?
Yeah. Hopefully you watch the puppet if they're good manipulator. It's been a great 10-20 years for puppetry. They're being used in Broadway shows. War Horse is exciting. Avenue Q is hilarious for adults. We do our adult puppet slam, and we have one coming up February 22nd, 23rd. And we're still getting our sea legs on that, but audiences love it. So we're glad that puppets are now for adults, too.
Well, Paul Messner's latest production, Martha Speaks, runs through February 10 at the Paul Messner Puppet Studio. That's 1006 East Linwood Boulevard. And, Paul, again, congratulations on 25 years. It's been a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Steve. It's been great being here.
That's Paul Messner.